Blood sanctifies, cleanses, protects us, excludes us from judgment. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Because of your blood, the accusations of the enemy fail. Because of your blood, we are made every whit whole. We thank you, Lord, for life in you, for strength, for purpose, for vision, for direction, for guidance, for peace which surpasses and passes all knowledge and understanding. Thank you that we have new life in you. Our hope is on nothing else but on you, our Lord, our rock, our righteousness. All other grounds sink and fail. They are sinking sand. But upon this rock we stand because of the blood. Blessed be your holy name, Father, for the gift of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see you this evening. It's been a while since we've seen faces in this house. And I'm so glad to see you that have come, and we bless you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning I was sharing with us about the word of the Lord to us about breathing. And I shared with us about the fact that it was because God is birthing us into a very new, fresh dimension in Him. Just like a child that is born needs to learn how to breathe outside the mother's womb, so also God is birthing us into an experience where we need to breathe. It's going to be a new experience for every one of us. Because the church has not experienced yet what God planned for it. But we will. He's been telling us about it. And I am deeply stricken by that word, breathe. Because it tells me that the timing is now. And one thing we need to understand about the apostles on the day of Pentecost is that all they needed to do was wait. Everything else, Father did. Give them the Holy Spirit. And when God poured upon them the Spirit, first thing that happened was they began to speak with a new tongue that was understood by everyone that was there. That is striking. That in the upper room, there was a sound of a rushing wind and cloven tongues rested upon them, and they began to speak. It was the breathing experience of the church. They had fresh breath manifested. That breath was first released into them in John 20. But it looked like nothing happened. The Lord came and spoke to them and said, "Peace be unto you." And he did it twice. And then he breathed upon them and told them what they were going to be able to do. Whatever sins they hold on to will be held on to. Whatever sins they forgive will be forgiven. Whoever it is that they release will be released. Whoever it is they say, no, not released. In other words, the power and the authority of governance was given to them. And many days hence, on the day of Pentecost, the thing that God really wanted them to do finally came into place. They began to speak in a new language. But I do believe that God is about to squeeze steps into a unit. And that what God wants to do is going to be quick. We're living in challenging times, and we need power in our lives that shakes the times and stops things and moves things. And it's not going to be by our might nor by our power, but by the Spirit of God. So, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'm just saying all we need to do is breathe. And when you start breathing, it becomes effortless. That the rhythm of the miraculous in our lives in the days to come is going to be effortless. It's just going to be what is normal. Amen? It's just going to be normal. Once upon a time, it took forever for people to break the 4-minute mile. And it was thought that it was impossible for a human to run a mile in 4 minutes. This is an impossibility. You can't do it. We've been trying for thousands of years to do it. We can't. It's impossible. Then one man broke it. And now, if you're not running a 4-minute mile, you might not qualify for the Olympics. Now it's normal. It's normal. 2 days ago, what we fantasized about happened. The first car flew. Did you know that? A car flying. My spiritual father used to say, all truth is parallel. God is about to reveal to us something he has not revealed before. Something about himself that he's not revealed before. God is about to take us to a place in him and just bear himself open. For we shall not die. What he did not do for Moses, he's about to do for us. He started about 2,000 years ago in Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, the Bible tells us that after 6 days, I believe in verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus took him with Peter. Please put it on that screen. Took with him Peter, James, and John. And he led them up into a high mountain. And that's exactly what God is about to do for us. Apart by themselves. I want you to notice he did not take all 12 apostles. They were all apostles. He took these three, Peter, James, and John. When he was going to the house of Jairus to raise up the dead daughter, put everybody back. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying not everybody is coming into this place. This is not for everyone. This is for the real bride, the real church. Now, don't lose me here. We're all part of the body of Christ, but there is a real body that is not the virgins. There are virgins that are going to come into the celebration, the wise ones. But there is a church that is the group of people that have separated themselves to know him. It's not because they don't have challenges, but they've built up a relationship. In Luke chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus is about to use the boat of Peter, and it's actually using it. But then it says, they caught a whole bunch of fish. It says, and they beckoned unto their partners. Remember what I said to us a few days ago, I've been holding it back from you for months. That the key message for the year we're coming into is linked to that word, partners. But not this kind of partners. These partners here is the word metokos. These are people who come around and hang around you because what they're going to get. What's in it for me? These are partners, they enjoy benefits, but they are not the real deal. They beckoned unto them which were in the other ship that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, and he drew the fishes which they had taken. And then verse 10, and so was also, what was the name there? James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were what? Partners. Different word. This word here is the word koinonia. These were people that were in it through the thick and the thin. And notice what's going to happen. The sons of the which were partners with Simon, they were partners with Simon. They were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. Who did he say to? Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Who is he talking to? Simon Peter. Watch this. 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they... Is Simon the they? Jesus called Peter, James and John. yeah, you're calling our partner. We come in too. You call one. This is the three musketeers. One for all for one. This is the real church that you cannot separate. You cannot disenfranchise them. You cannot split them out, split them up because of this or that or whatever. You see, you call one of us, we are in this together. They forsook all and followed him. He called Peter. They forsook all. In other words, they left, James and John left father and mother and everything and said, we're going with Peter. This is the kind of church that God is about to reveal himself to. They are not easily pushed aside. They say, No. You call one of us, you call all of us. Me too, I'm coming. That's why. In John 20, Peter and John came along. He could not separate them. They were one unit. They became God's fist. Just some little thing happens and you... all frazzled and upset and angry and blah, 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 blah. You don't qualify. You don't qualify. You're not the one that he's going to reveal himself to, because the people he reveals himself to are people that are one in him. Amen? Any wonder in Mark 9, the Lord Jesus leads Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His real self was revealed to them. What the other disciples didn't see, they saw. It wasn't because they were perfect. Perfect in the sense of they had no issues. Because the word of God says in verse 3, let's go on. He says, and his raiment became shining. Even what he was wearing became shining, exceeding white as snow. So as no fuller on earth can white them. Whatever it was that he was wearing became white, bright white, shining white. And what happens? And there appeared unto them Elias, prophet Elijah, with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And this is where you see the imperfection, verse 5. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Of course. He says, and let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Because we see all three of you together, so we should make three tabernacles. That would have been the formulation of three religions. How smart are you? Bible says, for he wist not what to say. He didn't know what to say. He was overwhelmed. And Bible says, for they were so afraid. They were very afraid. Jesus just transfigured before them. Up high in this mountain. And yet shows up Elias and Moses. Who wouldn't be scared? But I tell you something tonight. God is about to give us an experience in him. An experience that we cannot explain to anybody. Because the church of Jesus Christ is not going to be a wimpish church. I do believe that the devil will be, he will start praying and begging, God, take these people away. Take them away because they're causing me too much trouble. Because the people that know their God, they're strong, they're mighty, and they do exploits, great exploits. Oh, there is a church that's going to be battered by the enemy in the days to come. But this church of Jesus Christ, the church without spots, blemishes, nor wrinkles, that church is an unstoppable force. May every one of us be part of that church because we are sold out to God. Not compromising with every little issue. You compromise this and compromise that. Afraid of this, afraid of that. Bending here and bending there. Trying to please this person and trying to please that person. I tell you, that is not the church. The church of Jesus Christ could care less. Just like Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to bow down. Want to throw us in the fire? Go ahead. Make my day. If God doesn't save us, okay. But we're not going to bow down. He saves us, great. But what we're not going to do is bow. That's the church. It has a backbone. It is not wimpish. It is not jello-backed. And it's not happening because of their natural abilities. It is happening because, first of all, they have a love for each other. Love for each other that cannot be separated. Well, I know you with all your issues, but I love you anyway. I'm standing here with you. It doesn't matter. God says, I like people who can stand together. You know what? You know why God loves that? Because even when they were building the Tower of Babel, God said, you know, these people, when they're together like this, anything they want to do, they can accomplish. And the only way we're going to stop them from doing that is going to scatter their language. So he split them up in different languages and they didn't understand each other. But this time, the people that are united together, one under the Spirit of God, God is going to give them a language that can be understood. Everyone understanding. You know, growing up, it would seem like I understood what my dad needed just by a look or a nod of the head or a wink, and you knew what he wanted. Oh, get out of here. Come here. Get me something for these guys. And you had an understanding. Didn't have to say anything. And the people that you were serving thought, wow, what a wonderful young man. You know, he knew what we needed and came and asked for their blood. No, it was dad that was controlling the issue. Without saying anything, he was communicating. This is the kind of relationship God wants to bring us to, where God thinks a thought and you get the thought because you have the mind of Christ. This is that mind that is above whatever the enemy wants to do. You see, if God's mind is higher than ours, because sin separated us, then God's mind is higher than the mind of the enemy. Hello? So if God elevates us to begin to think the way he thinks, our thoughts become higher than the thoughts of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, child of God, this is a dimension that we all just move together by the Spirit of God without saying a word, without sending a text message. Somebody listening? Without using social media to communicate with each other. We just know that we know that we know what God is saying because we have the mind of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we flow. That church is being put together. God is assembling that church. Because he's going to reveal himself to that church. May every one of us be that church. I don't want to be one of the five virgins. It's good that they get into the party. Certainly, I don't want to be one of the five foolish who didn't get in. But beyond being a wise virgin, I want to be the bride. I don't want to be one invited to the party. I want to be the one that the party is being thrown for. Marate koshike. This glorious party for the bride is being promoted by the Father. May every one of us have a full sense of awareness in the Holy Ghost to be that church, that unstoppable church, that irresistible church, that empowered church. A son of the living God, not a servant, but a son that serves. He was transfigured before them. He was transfigured before them. You know, Peter, James, and John, could not be separated because of a koinonia relationship. Let's go further. Verse 4. They appeared unto them, not just Jesus transfigured, but they appeared unto them. They saw the prophet Elijah. That's the one who called down fire from heaven. That's the one who said, as I stand before the Lord, there's not going to be rain or dew in this land, but according to my word, because I said so. And God said, stamp. That's exactly what's going to happen. And then God said, man, you have started something. I need to hide you now. You started something. Oh, we've got to hide you. We've got to hide you. And God kept on hiding this man. Through that process, God even used birds to come make sure that he's fed. He had water. While everybody else was looking for water, he had water. And when the water in the place where he was dried up, God sent him to the widow of Zarephath. And there he saw food multiplying itself. This is the Elijah. This is the Elijah that is caught up by whirlwind. By a whirlwind. It's like a rapture. Moses, this is the one that's splitting seas, striking rocks and waters coming out, declaring the word of the Lord, and manna and quail is feeding. The people's garments are not worn out. That's this guy. He messed up. But God took him. Nobody saw his body to bury. Death did not see him put in the ground. He was not supposed to step into the promised land. Remember, not perfect, but sold out to God. And here he is in the promised land that he was not supposed to be in, he shows up there. Thousands of years later, but he was there. And they're talking with Jesus. What are you talking to Jesus about? I'm sure they were talking about what he was going to be going through and how they had all faith in him, that he was going to win this battle for them. Because every one of them were waiting for their redemption that was coming forth in Christ Jesus. Let's go on. Peter says, let's make these tabernacles. And what was God's response to it? Verse 6. while he's afraid. Verse 7, Bible says, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them. Moses knows about this cloud, because this cloud is a cloud that led them through that wilderness. This cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. Saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. What is going to make the difference ultimately is our ability to hear him. Because what we are going to see when they step out of this experience is a young man that has a deaf and dumb spirit. Says, hear him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Verse 8. And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves. They saw nobody else. They just saw Jesus and they saw themselves. No Moses. No Elias, just Jesus. Why themselves? Because they are the continuity of the message. But they also knew Jesus and us are not at the same level. You see, those that are going to move by the power of God in the days to come are going to have one common factor. They recognize that whatever it is that's happening, God is doing. This is not happening because I fasted for 20 days, for 50 days, because I prayed for 50 hours. No, this is happening because this is God doing the God thing. If I fasted and I prayed, it is for me to remind myself over and over again that I cannot do anything. I need God. We are going to redefine ourselves in a proper setting under the Lordship of the living God. They saw Jesus only with them. They saw Jesus only with them. Hear it. They saw Jesus only with them, with themselves. Jesus is the only one with us. There's no other name given under the heavens by which anyone is going to get saved but the name Jesus. They saw Jesus. They weren't praying to Saint Timothy. Mother Mary. No. Jesus only. With them. The one who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The one who went with them and confirmed their words with signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't know about you. I have seen the power of God. I have known the power of God. But I'm not going to fool myself to think for one moment that whatever it is that I've seen compares with anything that God wants to do. I've not seen everybody healed in a service. I'd love to see that. I'm sure it has happened now and then, but I'm talking about just normal, everyday experience. Because of the power of God present in our lives, that they will, from these hospitals, the ambulance will stop at the church and people get healed. That anybody in our city that is sick, say, which hospital do you want to go to? Take me to Glory and Peace. Well, it is 2 a.m. Take me to Glory and Peace. It's like a lady called not too long, a few months back, said, I was so sick, deadly sick, and I felt led to go to Glory and Peace. He said, as soon as I came into the vicinity of Glory and Peace Church, I got healed. Now that is going to be commonplace. Amen? And why not? Why wouldn't the church be open 24/7? Listen, I might be talking crazy right now, but I'm not talking crazy. Because the church of the Lord is going to be open 24/7. You hearing me? 24/7. We are coming into that day in the Holy Ghost that the church, we've come through shut doors, but there comes the day when the church is going to be open 24/7. Anytime somebody wants to be in the house of God, there's a service going on. And miracles are happening. It's going to be like one minister finishes and steps off, and another minister, it's like exchanging the baton. Because a team has been built. It's not about some name. It's about Jesus with them. Do you understand? That's going to be the church. Verse 9. It says, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen. Don't tell anyone. They're not going to believe you anyway. Don't waste your time telling people things. It says, should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. If some reason from the dead, you can tell them. Don't tell them nothing. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. They didn't get it all. They just saw something that's beyond them, and now Jesus is talking about dying. Rising from the dead, what does that mean? And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? Didn't they just see him? They just saw Elias. And now they're asking, why did the scribes say that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. Elias cometh first and does what? Restores all things. Understand that before the Lord comes, the book of Ourselves, there is going to be the restoration of all things. All of the noise and the shaking going on, and people wanting this, and people wanting that, and people wanting this, it's all about the restoration. But it has to be a restoration that's engineered by God. not by the systems of this world. All the issues being blown up into the surface. The things that are happening with our indigenous community, the things that were buried, the wicked acts, it's about to bring about a restoration, because there's got to be restoration. And it says, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. He is going to suffer many things and be set at naught. He's going to be like he's nothing. The church around the world have been challenged this past little while, and we've been addressed as if we were non-essentials. That's not. It's all the process. Let's go on. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. 16, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What are you asking my disciples about? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth it with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They could not. That's the state of the church today. You go to the psych ward right now, you're going to be lots of people in there that say they know God, to read their Bible, whatever else. There are demonized people in the church, and we can't do anything about it. We want to counsel them. We stopped counseling people years ago. We found out counseling people, when you have to cast out a spirit, does not solve a problem. Most of your counseling should happen while you're listening to the word of God in the house of God. And so, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So the Bible tells us, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Notice that. That's what he normally does. And never has the authority of the Lord been challenged like this. Demons see him, and they cry out, have you come to destroy us before our time? But this time, after he just came from his mountaintop experience, Jesus himself has been challenged. And after every mountaintop experience that you go through, you and I get challenged. That's when you have to reinforce who you are in God, and declare by enforcing through the authority of God in your life what is going to happen and what is not going to happen. Elijah just called down fire, and the next thing he's running away from a woman called Jezebel. Remember the story? After every mountain experience, there is going to be a challenge. And so many believers don't understand that. And so when they come to the lows in their life, they give up and say, well, I guess that was not what I experienced, was not the real deal. No, it was the real deal. Enforce it. The Spirit tore him. Falls to the ground and wallowed foaming in his mouth. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came up unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and unto the waters. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. What I'm talking to you about this evening, about this move of God that is about to come, we too can say like him, I believe, help thou my unbelief. 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. In another translation, the word was, he rebuked the unclean spirit. It was an unclean spirit. And he says to this unclean spirit, this foul spirit, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. In other words, I banish you once and for all. Don't you ever come back here. You unclean spirit. But this unclean spirit is a deaf and dumb spirit. Deaf and mute spirit. This spirit is operating rampantly in our world because people are deaf to the word of God, dumb and mute in speaking and proclaiming the word of truth. And the result is the enemy trying to destroy lives by fire, by water, by any means possible. It's happening in our world. There's so many. Smart kids that this spirit has come upon. And they will not speak. We might call it autism and whatever else. And it's a real thing, autism. But there's a spirit many times behind things that are happening in our world, trying to dumb down people so that the full capacity of intelligence that God has placed in them is dumbed down, is muted. The enemy has pushed the mute button on their lives. And today, by the authority of the word of God, I release the word of God even now, even as the Lord did. So do I now, by the authority of the word of God, I declare that children that are suffering from this mute spirit, this deaf spirit, this spirit that has affected lives and causing many to be epileptic. Father, in Jesus' name, let there be a release. Let your word, oh God, begin even now to penetrate, oh God, these lives and release these young people from the bondages and the lies of the enemy, that grace sufficient will establish each one. I call wholeness to those that have been influenced and affected diabolically by satanic forces with a general idea to mute their ability to live life to the fullness. I call your freedom. I declare your freedom. I declare you free from the activities of the enemy. Mend now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. 26. It says, and the Spirit cried. Wow. The mute, dumb. Isn't it amazing that the Spirit that is in him is a dumb, mute spirit? But it's able to cry out. He says, and rent him sore. This is still the challenge of the authority of the Lord, but it came out. He says, it came out of him, and he was as one what? Dead. Read throughout the scriptures. You will not find any challenge like this. When did the challenge come? When Jesus just had a revelation of who he was. Guess when the challenge comes for us? When we receive a revelation of who he is. But the thing is, you got to keep on pushing fervently by authority the will and the word and the purpose of God. There's only one winner in this ring. That's us. The enemy may have been knocked down once, he gets back up, and you think, when is this guy going to go down? Hit him again. He's going to come back up, hit him again. And by the time you've finished, he will remember never to get in the ring with you. When he hears your name, say, ah, no, no. Been there, done that, not again. Amen? Slept as if he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The word of the Lord to us this morning was, breathe. And as the Lord led me through the words this morning, when I read about Jairus' daughter being raised up, when I read about the widow of Nain's son being raised up, the Lord said, you see that word there, arise? I said, yes, I see it. He said, what I meant when I said arise was breathe. The church is going to breathe. Because the church is going to rise up. Anybody who's busy counting us out have made the biggest mistake. Jesus is not, right. He that was supposedly not, he's got the keys of death and grave all by himself, defeated all the forces of darkness, set all the captives free, and rose with them. He's going to rise with you. The church shall not fail. Amen? Blessed be the name of the living God. Amen. Well, that's the word the Lord has placed in my spirit for us today. And I trust that you've heard it. And that as you have received it, that you and I will live out this word. Because God is going to have the bride for his son. And we are going to be that bride without spots, without blemishes, without wrinkles. Amen? Bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, we receive your word. We say, let it be unto us according to thy word. Build your church, the church that has a revelation of who you are. When you made this statement about the gates of hell not prevailing against your church, it was preceded by you asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then you ask your disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter then said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And you said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. And on the foundation of this truth, you, Peter, the foundation of this truth, I am going to build my church. Lord, grant us a revelation of who you are, that your church may be established in spirit and in truth. We surrender our lives to you and we say yes to your word, yes to your will, yes to your purpose. Let your kingdom truly come and your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And all of gospel together in Jesus' mighty name said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, this evening, I want to encourage you to honor God with your giving. I want to encourage you to learn how to hear God when it comes to giving. Been in ministry some 46 years now, and I can boldly tell you that if you want to hear God clearly, you have to be able to hear God when it comes to giving. If you can hear God concerning giving, you will hear God in almost everything else. So I want to hear God. Learn how to hear God concerning giving. Because understand this, the devil will never tell you to give. He will never. He will never tell you to give. You know, I came to church this morning early as usual. I was around 7 o'clock, just before 7 anyway. And I was talking about giving to the Lord. And the Lord told me what amount. I said, bring in that amount out. And he said, and I want this. And he emptied my wallet. I said, what is this? God. And says, and I want some more. I said, huh? You want some more? Where am I going to get that from? I did not leave this church. And I had the more. I did not step out of this building and I had the more. And I mean, when I said I had the more, I had the more. So I'm going to honor God with that. With the tithe and whatever else. And I thought that was it. Oh no, that was not it. This is what I want. But I already have experiences in God to know that when God is asking you for stuff, He is ready to supply. So when I say to you, learn how to hear from God concerning your giving, just do it. He will surprise you and do for you exceedingly far beyond anything you dare ask or think. He will surprise you. Amen? So, you know, all I can do is encourage you to learn how to hear. You know, and when I'm talking to you, I'm not just talking about, oh, well, you know, some people want to count the pennies. I got $261. So my tithe is $26.10. And if they can't find the 10 cents, they start looking for pennies. We can't find pennies anymore. And just to match up with it. No, don't do that. That's your minimum. Just talk to God. God, what do you want? What do you want from me? And he'll tell you what he wants. And there are going to be times when he exceeds what you think you can do because he's channeling stuff your way. It's coming. And he will show himself strong on your behalf. So that's what I have to say about that. Let's do it. And be reminded that in what? Today's the 4th. So in 17 days from now, approximately, we are going to be having the Spiritual Warfare Conference, Part 2. And I've encouraged you to please, if you want, the first is going to be all preaching and teaching. The third day is going to be all preaching and teaching. But the middle date is going to be, I don't know what's happening with my mic. It's going to be a Q&A. So if there are questions that you have about spiritual warfare that you like address, do send it to us ASAP. Let it be in front of us before the 12th of this month so that we can answer those questions. Not because we don't have the answers. It's not for us to get prepared to answer your questions. It is so that we can have the panel together, because I'm not going to have Archbishop Cole, you know, preaching at 2 a.m. in the morning to match up with our time here. It's a different time zone. So we're going to pre-record his sessions, if you understand, at a decent hour of the day. Amen. And so that's why we want to have your questions ahead of time so that we can answer those questions with him. Mama and I will both go at your questions and answer them as best as possible so that you are equipped on those things. And there are going to be questions, I'm sure, that you're going to ask that we have not thought about. And we'll have to talk to the Lord about it. What's the answer to this one? Amen? So, that's a forward to that. Can we have the video for the Spiritual Warfare Conference? And then we are going to share in communion together.
Push back the darkness and redeem the times. Hallelujah. Victory, we win.
Thank you so very much. Well, at this time, we're going to wrap up by sharing in communion together. I trust that you have your communion elements. If you don't, just please raise your hand and you'll be served. There's a hand raised in the back there. And if you've not honored God with your giving yet, please do so. Those of you at home, please get your communion ready. While you're getting your communion ready, be reminded, please, that Wednesday is going to be general Bible study. It was we made an error. It was supposed to be leadership, but the 30th we use for leadership because some miscommunication and stuff like that announced that. And then, this Wednesday is going to be Bible study, and Friday is going to be general prayer meeting also, okay? Father, we are thankful for the gift of your body. Lord, as we take of this body, remembering you, we ask, oh God, that we take of this body, it will not be just an act of memory, but that we remembered, put together in the spirit of unity, and that we'll be that church that you have sanctified, washed by your blood. We take of this body and we eat. And we say, reveal yourself to us, Father. Reveal yourself to us, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to see into the invisible. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Take of this body and eat. The blood of Jesus was shed for the remission of sins. Child of God, please be reminded that God is a God who's forgiven you and cleansed you of all unrighteousness. There are times we fail, we fall flat on our faces, but there's forgiveness available. And not only do we have forgiveness available, we have grace available to us to help us stand strong and continue to walk uprightly. The Lord said, go and sin no more. Let us receive the cleansing of the blood and receive the ability to go and sin no more. Take off this cup and drink. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in that precious blood of the Lamb. Be blessed. Be highly favored of the Lord. May the peace of God garrison your hearts. May the God of heaven establish you in your going out and in your coming in. May the God who elevates, elevate you. And may his face shine upon you and grant you peace. In Jesus, our Lord's name, I call it so done. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord, and may his peace garrison your heart. Remember, you are greatly loved of God. He has chosen you, and he has ordained for you to have a destiny. He has called you and empowered you by his grace to live life to the full. Refuse to accept or tolerate any lies of the enemy. God is for you. And if he, and he sure does, stands with you, nothing can stop you. There is not a thing that you decide to do that you will fail to accomplish. Because with God on your side, you have been made more than a conqueror. Be blessed and good night. Love you.